Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye, the Lord, everybody. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. In Jesus' name, I am your host, Adam Tuggle. And yes, and if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed. And it's not because of the sound of my voice. But if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed because you are in the land of the living, and that is a reason to give God, our Lord, our God, our Savior, our Redeemer, some praise on today. Amen. I say welcome to the show. Amen. This is the show to get your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. Amen. I praise God for being here on this afternoon, this morning, wherever you're listening to me, whatever time zone, I praise God for you in Jesus' name. I know Bishop Carver, he can go through the list of countries rapidly. Me, I cannot. So I praise God for each and every person around the world that is listening in Jesus' name on this morning, on this afternoon, in Jesus' name, on this beautiful Saturday, in Jesus' name. Amen. On today, we have a phenomenal, phenomenal show for you on today. Now, I want to start off by doing this. I want to start off by saying this. We as people of God and as people that are living in this world, both, I mean, ungodly and godly, we see a lot going on in our world, in our societies, in our countries, and just around the world. We see a lot of devastation. And the enemy has tried and tried and tried and still trying to get us, trying to hold us captive unto sin, unto lust, unto lasciviousness, unto any type of form of spiritual uncleanness that he can, so that we may not be able to get to where God wants us to be. And this is both for sinner and saint. The enemy is on his job. We, as people of God, must be on ours. We must not only be on guard for ourselves, but we must be on guard for the sinner man. Because the sinner man and the sinner woman, or the sinner child, whichever way you want to call it, does not fully understand. They don't understand the battle that the sinner man is under. They don't understand the spiritual side of it. They might think that they do. Some might think that they do. But really, if you do not have the mindset and the eyesight of Christ, you do not fully understand it. There is a battle raging every day that a person wakes up out of their sleep. From the time, and even in, sometimes even in our sleep, we must fight for ourselves, for our families, for people, just random people, because that's the same thing that Jesus did. Jesus fought for all of mankind through the cross. He hung, he bled, he died, and in that, in those forms of matter, in that manner, he fought for our souls. He fought for our eternity. In the midst of him going through the persecution of the cross, he was fighting for our spiritual side of our life. Because our life was in great destitute, whatever you want to call it, but Jesus fought for us. And the same we must do with the Spirit of Christ on the inside of us. We must fight for ourselves, our families, and people that we don't even know. You might say, well, how am I supposed to fight for people I don't know? And this is where the topic comes in at. There's a lot of profane things going on in the world. There's a lot of lasciviousness going on in the world, and if you don't know what lascivious means, it means sexual perversion, anything that's sexual. We see a lot of, and I'm not gonna name everything, but we see a lot of sinful things going on. We see a lot of devastation going on. So it is up to us in this topic today to be careful for nothing. And that's the title of today's topic. Simple. Be careful for nothing. If we go to Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse number 6, we look at Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 6 through 9, talks about that. Be careful for nothing. I'm going to read it in your hearing. Philippians chapter 4, verse starting at verse number 6. All the way to verse number 9. And it reads, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now, you might say, well, why are you talking about be careful for nothing? I'm going to show you. Because we have a lot of things going on in the world, in and out of the church. See, I'm not just talking about the world, I'm talking about in the church too. This topic today is to encourage you to be careful because your life is at stake. I don't care if you're saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't care if you are a sinner. I don't care if you're a backslider. Your life is at stake. Like I said earlier, every day you get up, you have a fight on your hands. Every day. Every day you open your eyes, you will have a fight on your hands because the enemy will come after you. And if the enemy, if you are in sin, the enemy will try to fight you even still. Because I hear some people say, well, Brother Adam, well, I heard that if the enemy doesn't come after you, he's already got you. That's true. But he also fights those that he has because he tries to keep them in the bondage that they're in. He'll do all he can to keep you in the bondage that you're in. Take, for example, when we first got, before we got saved, everything that we could possibly do out there in the world tried to keep us in the world. And some of us that are in Christ, some of us, it took a minute for us to get in Christ. Some of us, the Lord had to keep tugging at us, right? This is the example that I'm sharing with you guys because those things that tug at us at the world, as far as the world system, the things that try to tug at us, even in your spiritual walk, your flesh, you got to fight your flesh, you got to fight the devil, you got to fight off the things of the world, you have to fight off false witnesses. These are the things that we have to fight in the body of Christ. Now, the things of the world, the people that are the sinner man, the backslider, they have to fight against the enemy too. Because the devil is going to try to keep that individual in that state as best he can. Now, even though they have no power to come out, even though they have no power to say no to the enemy, even though they have no power to say no to their flesh, there is, the Bible says, a man cannot be drawn unless God draw him. And every day, the Bible lets us know that in the last days that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, which means he is giving time and opportunity to receive what he has for us. Every day that's why I said, every day that you wake up, there is a battle going on. For the sinner man, it is to be saved. That's the main battle. That is the main objective, to get your soul right with God. For the saved individual, it is to stay where you are in Christ. Now, what I mean by staying where you are in Christ, I mean not straddling the fence or just walking away completely. That's what I mean. Because in Christ, you must grow. In Christ, you must grow. You can't stay stagnant. So let me break that down. Amen. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, because there are some things that we need to be careful for in and out of the church. And I'm going to show you. Now, this right here is talking about in the last days. In the last days. I'm going to read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Then we're going to drop down to 6 and 7 and then drop down to verse 16. And I'm going to read it in your hearing. 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, giving their speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, what is this? What are the two verses saying to us? What this is saying is that in the last days, and we are living in the last days, and just to let us know, because some people might ask, when did the last days begin? When did the last days begin? Well, just to give a little paraphrase on when the last days began, because this is not, I'm starting to get a little bit off topic, but I want to give you a little nugget on when the last days began. Did they begin in the 2000s? Did they begin? When did they begin? It began on the day of Pentecost, because the Bible lets us know, as I quoted that scripture, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The Spirit of God was not poured out until the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell in the upper room, that is when the last days began. And from then up until now, we have been living in the last days. And I know, I understand, I hear it, I know, I've been raised in it, that we've been hearing all the time that, oh, man, we're living in the last days. The Lord is coming back. Da, 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 da. The Lord is coming back. The Lord is coming back. The Lord is coming back. The Lord ain't came back yet. What's going on? Well, from the day of Pentecost up until now, the Lord has given us time to get our soul right. This is why he has not come back yet. Now, it's of his grace and his mercy and the prayers of the righteous that he's held back is coming this long. But the day and age that we're living in right now, oh, we don't have that much time. You might think, well, what about all that time that we had back in the, I'm going to go in my generation, the 90s and the early 2000s and then I'm going to go back even further than that. I'm going to go back. What about the 80s and the 70s and the 60s and the 50s? What about all that time? And the Lord hasn't come, the Lord didn't come back then because he was giving them time. He was giving them time. He was showing grace upon us. He was showing his mercy. People from generation to generation to generation were praying that their loved ones would be saved. They were praying for their loved ones, and God was giving their loved ones time to get it right. That's why the Lord has not come back yet. So, on that note, why is it that the Bible says we have to be careful, that we must be careful for nothing? What is that nothing? That nothing is simply everything that you see around you. Everything that you see around you. My friend, I have a friend that back in middle school, and this is before, when I was in middle school, I used to like this girl. And one of my friends told me one time, they was like, everything that looks good to you may not always be good for you. And they told me that in the midst of me liking this young lady. And this person that was telling me this because they knew that this young lady, you know, this young lady was in your league, which means, not saying that this young lady was better than me, but the standard wasn't right. You in a whole different ball game. You in a whole different ball. You in holiness. And I admit. And I took my friend's advice, and I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did. And no offense to the young lady, but that wasn't for me. And we see things in the world. We see the devastation that's going on, and we see people going after things that are not meant for them. That's not right for them. Everything that looks good to us is not always good for us. That's why the Bible says, be careful for nothing. This is why the Bible says, be careful for nothing. Because just one thing, one little thing, could destroy your whole life. One thing can alter your life. One wrong move. One wrong thought could alter your whole life. This is why the Bible says be careful for nothing. One little iota of hatred, you keep that inside of you long enough, and should the rapture take place, you'd be lost. Should the Lord call for your soul, you would be lost. This is why the Bible says, be careful for nothing. This is why the Bible says, forgive. This is why the Bible says, love your enemies. Love them that despitefully use you. Because my life is on the line. My life is at stake, and I don't want nothing to bring any harm to my life. Having hatred in my heart for somebody is bringing a detriment to my life. And it's physically, and let me say this, because this is, I'm still on topic, but I left my notes now. When you have different things in your life that is not of God, it separates you from God. Because anything that is outside of the will of God is sinful, and it is a sin. You hold hate in your heart, and I'm just using this as an example. You hold hate in your heart for somebody, that is a sin. Why? Because the Bible says love. You're not following what God said. So the Bible says all disobedience is what? Sin. All disobedience is sin. Well, I remember what that person did to me. Okay, and but I'm not forgiving them. They didn't apologize to me. So what? Because they got to deal with. And the reason why I say so what, you might say, well, Minister Adam, why are you saying so what? Because they didn't apologize to me. Well, guess what, honey? Guess what? Man, woman, boy or girl, let me tell you why I'm saying so what. Because if they never come and apologize to you, does that make it even right for you to even just hold that grudge? Two wrongs don't make a right. Two wrongs don't make a right. That's why I'm saying so what. Just because they are. And we have that going on in the church. I'm not just talking about the world. We have supposed to be sisters and brothers in the church. Well, I don't like the way sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so looked at me. Did you see what they had on? And the devil is a liar. The Bible says he is not. The Lord is not the author of confusion. Don't you know that stuff, that the isms and the schisms of our life is nothing but confusion? And the devil uses confusion to separate us from what God has for us. That is one of his weapons that he uses. That's one of them.
But we as the people of God, we as the people of God must stand firm on what we believe. We must stand firm on the faith. The Bible says in the book of Jude, it says, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. The doctrine that was once delivered, that has been delivered by God for us to live right. We must stand firm on that. We must believe in it, and if you believe in it, you must live that thing. That's why I don't have a problem with forgiving people. There's some people in my family that's wondering why I'm able to forgive so much. My boss at the job I work at right now, she told me one time, she said, "You are the most forgiving person I've ever seen in my life." Like, it took me a minute to get there, but she said, "I've never seen a person forgive the way you do." Now, I'm not bragging about myself, because I told my boss, I said, "You know what? That's nothing but the grace of God." Because I've had people do stuff to me, and you know what? It's been like, wait a minute. Like, hold up. Because my flesh want to rise up, but because I love the Lord too much, I'm going to forgive you, and I'm really going to forgive you. It's not just me saying it. It's me showing it. So this is what we must do. In verse number 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nurtured up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attended. But refuse profane and old wives' fables." Amen. See, it's telling us to refuse profane. Now, what is the word profane? What is that? What does that mean? When you mix the word of God with the world, that's profane. That's what that word profane means. When you try to mix good with evil, when you try to mix a little bit of the word, when you add to the word, or when you try to add a little, take away a little, that's profane. That's what that means. This is why it's meant for us to be careful for nothing, because even in the church, we can be, we can be knocked off course even in the church. You see so many false doctrine going on. It just told us in verse number 1 that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. How is that doctrines of devils? What do you mean by doctrines of devils? Anything that's outside of the will of God, anything outside of the word of God. And you think that the devil ain't going to try his old tricks, the same thing that he tried to use on Jesus himself? The devil tried to use the word, his God's own word against him in the Garden of Gethsemane. The same tactics that he's using now. It's the same old tactics, just a new generation. That's all it is. Same tactics, Just new people, new generation. That's all it is. That's it. But when you look in the Word of God, it lets us know that, hey, the Bible lets us know of these tricks. It does. We must be holy in everything we do. We cannot take after the world. If we look in how do we know that we're to be holy in everything we do, and how that we can't act, because we see it all the time in the entertainment industry. In the entertainment industry, they try to be profane with the Word of God. Mix a little, take away a little, add a little. We see it with preachers. We see it with – there is no reason, and I'm going to say this, and I'm standing boldly on it. I don't care. If you don't like me, turn me off. I don't care. You are not supposed to be mingling with the world and anything. Do you have – you might say, well, Jesus mingled with the world. He supped with them. He wasn't mean towards them, but he didn't act like them. Nowadays, you can't even mingle with the world because of the fact we got people in the church that are trying to be like the world. They start mingling with them. The Bible says evil communication corrupt good manners. You start mingling with them, and you call yourself trying to draw them, but yet you acting like them. They drawing you. That's why the Bible says be careful for nothing. That's why the Bible says evil communication corrupt good manners. Makes sense. That's why the Bible says in Colossians 3:17, whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because everything that you do must be done in Jesus' name, because if you do it in Jesus' name, you're going to do it right. And you won't be outside of the ark of safety. This is why. And in 1 John, let's go there to 1 John. This is the reason why everything in our life must be holy and we can't take after the world. Be careful for nothing. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2 real quick. 1 John chapter 2. Because I want to show you this. This is in the Word of God, y'all. This is nothing of me. This is nothing of me. I did not write this. But this is the Word of God. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 15. Amen. And it reads, love not the world. Oh. The Lord is telling us not to love the world. Now, somebody might say, well, that means don't love nobody. No, it didn't mean that. We're going to break it down. Love not the world, which means you're not going to, if they're doing wrong, you don't do wrong with them. You might say, because I already know some people are going to be like, oh, it says love not the world. I can hold a grudge. No, that didn't mean that. That did not mean that. But you just said that the Bible says love not the world. Okay. It did not mean literally like you stop loving people. Don't love the world as far as hanging with. If they doing unsaved things, if a person is doing ungodly things, that don't mean you got to go do it. That's love. If you're doing it, that means you loving the world. That's what he means. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. Let's go down to verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, or with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now, that there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, you might say, is this the Antichrist that they're talking about? No. This is not talking about the Antichrist in the book of Revelations. That's not what that's talking about. When they say in this verse, when they're talking about Antichrist, it's saying, you've heard, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, that Antichrist shall come, even now that there are many Antichrists. What does that mean? Anybody that's not a lover and a follower of Jesus Christ is Antichrist. That's what that means. Anti. Anti means against. Anti means against. That's what that means. Yes, we know about the Antichrist, which is in after the rapture takes place, but this is not talking about the Antichrist after the rapture. This is talking about, as I said before, a person that is not a lover and a follower of Jesus Christ. They might have, they might say that they love God, but the Bible says many will say, Lord, Lord, and won't enter in. They're going to cry, Lord, Lord, but they won't enter in. There's many false Christs out there. They're not of us. Okay? I'm just trying to show you here. There are many false witnesses. There's a lot of false, and let me finish reading the verses. Verse 19, it says, they went out from us. This is talking about the Antichrist, the Antichrists. These are the people that had there's two forms of Antichrist in this verse. People that don't believe, people that have probably never heard of the word but don't believe it, people that have heard of, well, there's three. I'm not going to say two, I'm going to say three. People that have never heard of it and don't believe it, people that have heard of it and don't believe it. And what I mean by the people that have never heard it and don't believe it, for example, an atheist. Some atheists, there's two types of atheists. One that has heard the word of God, they believed it once, and now they don't believe because they had a major crisis happen in their life, which somehow in their mind they feel like God's not real. There's another form of being an atheist, which is another form of Antichrist, who has never heard of the word of God, that was born in an atheist family. That's what I mean. And I'm just using this as an example. I'm not attacking anybody, but I'm just using this as an example. A person that is born in an atheist family would not know anything about the word of God, because those people that are in that household would not teach them. Now, eventually, because the Bible says in the last days he'll pour out his spirit upon all flesh, which means he's giving everybody opportunity. Nobody would be left without an excuse. That child that is raised in the atheist family we'll be able to have an opportunity to receive it, to receive repentance, the baptism in Jesus' name, and being filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, and be able to live a life of godliness. They'll give it that, but they'll have an opportunity to, right? Everybody that has been in the world and has left out of this world has had an opportunity. Everybody that is in the world now, and you have not left off this earth yet, you, whether you haven't had it yet or whether you have it later, you will be given an opportunity to be saved. Because God will not hold a person accountable for something that they do not know. It's just that simple. Okay? So he's going to give everybody an opportunity to receive the Holy Ghost. Man, woman, boy, or girl. Somewhere down the line of your life, I don't care how short it is, I don't care how long it is, you will have an opportunity. Now, the only objection to that, and this is my own personal opinion, and the reason why I have this opinion, it's not scripture, but I believe that the Lord would not hold, there's only one human person that the Lord would not hold accountable for being, for repentance and baptism in Jesus and being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues until the Spirit of God gives the utterance. They will not be held accountable if they died or if the rapture took place and that human being is newborn babies or babies that cannot talk. The reason why, because a baby cannot be baptized in Jesus' name. A baby cannot go underneath the water. God is not crazy. God is not out of the loop, okay? He's not in the loony bin. He's not going to hold that baby accountable for that because that baby cannot talk. Neither can that baby go underneath water. So that's why I say that's the only exception is for them. But if that child is of mindset, that's why the age, and I'm going to go here, you might say, well, what about the age of accountability? When does the age of accountability stop? The age of accountability stops when that child understands right from wrong. There is nothing in the Bible that says age 12 is the cutoff to the age of accountability. They use that they think that the age of accountability is 12 years old. That's man-made. That is man-made. There is no scripture to back that up. No scripture at all to back that up. That the age of accountability for a child is 12 years old. No, because there are children receiving the Holy Ghost. And once you receive the Holy Ghost, because there's kids at 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 years old receiving the Holy Ghost. I done seen it. I was 9 years old when I received the Holy Ghost. And as soon as you receive the Holy Ghost, you are being judged right then. So, that's why I say the only human being that is not accounted to receive the Holy Ghost and to be do the steps of salvation and receive the Holy Ghost and to live right is a baby, because that baby cannot speak in tongues. That baby cannot be baptized in Jesus' name, because that baby cannot go under water. You might say, well, what if it's christened? That is not a form of baptism. That is blessing that child through that's just like praying over that child. That is not baptism. What if I sprinkle them with some water? That's not baptism either. Baptism is being submerged underwater. Baptism in the Greek, I believe it's in the Greek or Hebrew tongue, that means baptizo, which means that word baptizo means submerge, which means being taken underwater. Okay? So, I'm sorry, I got off my notes. I got sidetracked, but we're back on. Amen. Why do we have to watch everything we do? You might say, well, why do I got to watch everything I do? Because the Bible says so. The Bible lets us know. Songs of Solomon. In Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Let's go there real quick. And then I want to get some feedback from Spirit of Life family and anybody who's on on the air listening. If you want to leave a comment, you can. Or if you have a question, I will try to answer it to the best of my ability of the Lord, that the Lord gives me in Jesus' name. But I want to read this verse before we do that. I want to read this verse to you in Songs of Solomon, because this lets us know that we have to watch everything that we do. All right. Now, I am saying this because, as we read in Colossians 3 and 17, I'll read that verse a lot. That whatsoever we do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's number one. That's one reason why we should do it. But in Songs of Solomon chapter 2 in verse 15, it lets us know why we should watch. Now, listen to this. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. What is that verse saying to us? That it's the little things. This is why we should watch what we do. This is why we should be careful for nothing, because it's the little. What is the verse is saying? The foxes are symbolic of the little things that we let slide. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that we let slide. It's the little things that we let creep up in the church. Come on here. In Jude, in the book of Jude, starting around Jude verse 4, that it says certain men have crept in unaware. Things have crept in. You allow things to creep in your life. Those little things will slowly destroy your life. I have literally seen people, our saints of God, have allowed things to creep in the church, and sometimes the pastor lets things creep into the church. For example, person got a big name. They let them preach. They preach in any winded doctrine. They don't care. That's the foxes. That's the little foxes. That's spoiling the vine. God is the vine. We're the branches. But our life is part of that vine. Because we're doing the Lord's work. We're of the Lord's workmanship. Okay? We're the Lord's workmanship. We're supposed to be going around preaching the gospel, spreading the word, spreading the good news, whatever you want to call it, But if our life is messed up, if we let the little foxes destroy us, we can't do what God has called for us to do. Because we're wasting time. If we let the little foxes destroy what the Lord is trying to build in us, and if we let it get destroyed, then we got to go away. We're wasting time by having to go back, repent, and do all that stuff over again when we could have just destroyed the little foxes with prayer, fasting, all of that stuff, keeping our eye on the enemy instead of letting the enemy knock us around. Now we got to go back and get that thing right. And in that time of getting that thing right, we're wasting time trying to get that thing right when we should have been working for the Lord. It's the little foxes that destroy the vine. This is what it says in Songs of Solomon. This is why we need to watch everything we do. You might say, well, that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. Okay, well, watch this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, okay? Because some people feel like, hey, I don't need the Old Testament. I don't need the Old Testament. That's under the law. Well, guess what? Songs of Solomon and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 go hand in hand. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And after I read this, I want to get some feedback from our listeners and our Spirit Alive family. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, starting at verse 33 and verse 34. And it reads, "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners." Verse 34, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Just told us right there. When we let the little foxes be, it said it in verse 33, "Be not deceived." You're being deceived when you let the little foxes come in and destroy the vine of which God has built in your life. That's why I said the Old Testament is Christ concealed. The New Testament is Christ revealed. He concealed it by giving a parable or an example in our day and time of the little foxes. Wouldn't nobody know what that meant? When I say, if you go to a random person and say, it's the little foxes that destroy the vine, they wouldn't know what you meant. But if you say, be not deceived, they gonna know what you mean. Don't be deceived. There you go. The Old Testament is Christ concealed. The New Testament is Christ revealed. The New Testament just reveals to us what that verse was saying. This verse right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, and verse 34, just revealed to us what Songs of Solomon chapter 2, verse 15 said. Christ concealed, Christ revealed. There you go. That's why we need the Old Testament and the New Testament. This is a little nugget for y'all. I want to get some feedback from my Spirit Alive family and ones that are listening in Jesus' name. If you have any comments or questions, you can chime on in at this time in Jesus' name. And I pray if you have any questions, we will be using scripture. Amen. I'm not going to say anything outside of scripture. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Minister Tuggle. It's interesting because, what God says, is that those who diligently seek him will find him. God can do that, right?
Yes.
So you have to understand that it is the desire to come to God comes from God. So whenever we encounter people who are diligently seeking a relationship with God, all we have to do is introduce them to Jesus Christ so that they can hear and understand the benefit of knowing about the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. But I wanted to focus on a couple scriptures for you that are going to reaffirm what you said today. And if you look at what it says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, right? And that's saying the fire that God started in you when he called you to come to him, he's going to fulfill it. If he started the work in you, he's the one that's going to perform it. He's going to finish it. It's his work, right? So now look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. It says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil, right? So it's God that establishes us and keeps us from evil, right? Look at what it says in John 6, 7. It says, all that the Father, and this is Jesus Christ speaking, right? He says, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, right? So our confidence is that God is doing this work. The desire to come to God is coming from God, so he's calling us. And then he, out of his faithfulness, is establishing us and keeping us from evil, right? And then Jesus Christ said, all the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that come to me, I won't cast out. That's intense, right? So now look at, you were quoting earlier, you said Jude, right? And Jude, in Jude, verse 24 and 25, it says, now unto him is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless for the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, right? But the thing that really gets me, and this is where I'm going to stop and I want to land, right, is in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, right? What it says is, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we have to understand the power of God that is fulfilling the purpose in the life. And when we remember the desire to come to God comes from God, so we don't have to live fear. And that verse in Philippians chapter 2 is really speaking of being anxious for nothing, right? Not worrying about anything, but with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, making all of our requests known to God so that we can have that peace that passes understanding. We can receive the understanding of God because we have the peace of God, because we're not worrying, we're trusting God, right? And my teaching tomorrow is going to be about how God's people and the leadership of God's people didn't trust God, and so they suffered and didn't enter into the promised land, but their children did, right? And so we have to get to the point where we learn to trust God with all of these promises in his word, because that's what these scriptures are. They're promises. And when we stand on those promises, we can be confident in that. And then we can know, goodness, you know what? God is doing this. And even though I'm afraid that I might not be able to do it, I don't have to try to do it because God's already, he's the one doing it, right? All I have to do is trust him and say, yes, submit to his will, humble myself, and let him perform this complete and perfect work in my life. So I think it's a good thing to keep going, man of God. I just wanted to add those scriptures so that you could, you know, and I was glad you said scripture only, scripture only.
Right. I'm a firm believer in it. If you don't have scripture to back it up,
why say it? That's right. I say it.
Yep.
Keep going, man, guys.
Yes, sir. And I like what you said, Bishop Carver, about the scripture. Be careful. Be in that verse. Be careful for nothing. I know we're talking about be careful for nothing because, and it does. It is letting us know that we don't have to worry about anything with that. We don't have to walk in fear. And a lot of people are walking in fear. Fear of what? The unknown. They don't know what their life is going to be like without this or without that. Or if I don't grasp after this, my life is going to be like this. And if I really get in tune with God, I'm going to be missing out on this, and I won't be able to have this, and they're afraid to let it go. This is not just talking about that, but when you say be careful for nothing, it's also, like Bishop Carver said, not walking in fear. Don't worry about it. But also, it is also saying, don't worry about it. On both sides of the coin, don't worry about what you are going to have need of. Don't worry about whether if I let go of this sin, what is my life going to be like? Because when a person is in sin, I'm going to tell you what they're walking in. They're walking in fear. When God is tugging at us, telling us to come out of our sin, or God is telling us to, yeah, you don't need to go that way, but yet we want to hold on to what we have. The reason why many people stay in their sins is because of fear. That is the biggest thing that the enemy uses against mankind, fear. You might say, well, my sins have nothing to do with fear. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because if it was easy to let it go, you wouldn't have such a hard time. If fear wasn't there, and I'll give you an example. A person that smokes. Now, you might say, well, how is smoking a sin? It's detrimental to your body. That's why. The body is the temple of Jesus Christ. Light and darkness have no fellowship. That's what it is. Well, I've seen people be on the church parking lot and smoking. Okay. That doesn't mean that doesn't make it right. I've seen this and I've seen that. I'm not in this to please man. I'm not in this to follow man. I'm in this to follow Jesus. You might say, well, oh, it's okay for me to drink a little here and drink a little there. The Bible says a little wine for stomach's sake. No. Nope. Well, Jesus turned water into wine. That's the falseness that we're looking at. That's an example, but that's the falseness that we're looking at. They take the word of God and they twist it up. Now, watch this. I said earlier that why do we need to watch? Why do we have to watch everything we do? I read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 and 34. Songs of Solomon chapter 2, verse 15. Now, I want to take you to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. This is another reason why we need to watch. Acts chapter 2, verse 40 says, And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untorn generation. We got one shot at making it to heaven. One. And you might say, well, if the rapture takes, I heard that if the rapture takes place, I can die with the mortars and die for my own sins, and I'll make it in. Yeah, it's not that easy. It's not going to be easy. And the reason why I'm going to say that it's not going to be easy is because the Bible says, how can you run, I believe the scripture goes like, how can you run with the chariots and you can't run with the footmen? Or it might be vice versa. But it's letting us know that you can't, what that verse is letting us know is that if you can't run now, you won't be able to run then. What do you mean by if I can't run now, I won't be able to run then? That means that with the Spirit of God on the earth, and you can't make it with the Spirit of God on the earth, what makes you think you can make it without the Spirit of God being on the earth? It's going to be 100 times harder. Great deception will be on the earth. Great deception. Greater deception than what it is now. So what makes you think that you're going to make it in the tribulation? And if you're saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you have, and you miss the rapture, you're lost. Well, what does that say that in the Bible? Because the Bible says we're being judged now. You're lost. If you are saved and sanctified and filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues of the Spirit of God gives the utterance, and you miss the rapture, you're lost. You might as well have sealed your faith, because you tasted of God and you missed out. That backslider that refuses to come back home, you missed out because you tasted of God. I'm just being honest with you. And I know you might say, well, Brother Adam, that sounds so harsh. There's no easy way to say it, but to say it in the correct way that God tells us to say it. Now, what do we have to be careful for? We have to be careful for the devil, our flesh, false witnesses, and the world. Two of the scriptures we've already read. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, it talks about the world and our flesh that we have to be careful for. In James chapter 4, verse 7, we have to be careful of the devil. It says, when you resist the devil, he will flee from you. When we resist the devil, we got to resist him. Some people don't even want to resist him. And we have to be careful for false witnesses. We read that in the book of Jude. Jude 1 and 4. Amen. False witnesses, false preachers, preachers that add a little, take away a little. Amen. But how do we care for our life in the Spirit of Christ? Watch this. Let's go to Ephesians. I'm going to read these couple of scriptures to you, and then we're going to go home. In the book of Ephesians, I love Ephesians because it's got so much in the book of Ephesians. I love all of the books, but Ephesians is one of my favorite books, one of them. Ephesians chapter 6. This is how we take care of our own life. The Bible says, I've hid the word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. This is how we don't sin against him. Amen. In Ephesians, I believe it's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. It reads, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all preparation and supplication for all saints. This is how we take care of our life, putting on the whole armor of God. Amen. We must do this. If we're going to, there are certain weapons that we have that we must use, such as, while having on the whole armor of God, there are certain weapons that we must use. If we look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, it talks about prayer and fasting. Amen. If we look at Psalms 34, verse 1, it talks about praise. The Bible says in that verse, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. That is a weapon that we have. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, amen, it lets us know to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God, or rightly dividing the word of truth. What does that mean? Being in the word, studying the word of God, amen. Reading the word. Amen. That's how we keep our life. Amen. Amen. And if we go to John chapter 4, verse 24, we would see that it lets us know that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship is another weapon that we use to keep our life intact with God. Worship is another weapon. for the ungodly, the biggest weapon that you can have in your life is God on the inside of you. For the unsaved, you must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If we keep ourselves in the spirit, in the secret place, we will have the victory over all things. Amen. Amen. If we stay in the secret place, Psalms 91, verses 1 through 4, talk about the secret place. Verse number 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. We stay in the secret place. Staying in the realm of God. Amen. We must stay in the realm of God. Because if we get out of the realm of God, we're gonna be obsolete. We're gonna be obsolete. Amen. And if we look at 2 Corinthians real quick, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it lets us know. We must understand that we are underneath the same spirit, amen. In Second Corinthians chapter 10. Oh Lord, I was in First Corinthians. I'm so sorry, y'all. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it says, for the weapons of all warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. This helps us pull down the strongholds in our life. Amen. These weapons that I've just talked about, the prayer, the fasting, the worship, the praise, the giving in Malachi, Malachi chapter, I believe it's in chapter 3, where it talks about tithes and offering. That is a way that we keep our life together in tithes and offering. We give. We give to the poor. We give to the needy. These are the ways we keep ourselves together, because the Bible lets us know that we should give of ourselves. We should give of our finances. We should give of our – these are the things that keeps us. These are the weapons that helps keeps our walk with Christ. Amen. You might say, well, how does me giving money keep me from having a messed up life? Well, I'm going to show you real quick, and then we're going to go. In Malachi chapter 3, amen, I believe it's chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3, where it talks about tithes and offering, amen. It said, will a man rob God? Malachi chapter 3, starting at verse number 8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, if we read further in that, it lets us know that he would open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we wouldn't have room enough to receive. Amen. And in verse 11, it says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Amen. He's going to, if we do that, that's a weapon for us. Amen. We pay our tithes and our offering. He said it in verse number 11 that I will rebuke the devourer. The devourer is the enemy. The devourer is our flesh. The devourer is those false witnesses. That's why I say, be careful for nothing. And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. So many people's fruits are getting destroyed. It's the little foxes that destroy the vine. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. What we think is not important. It's the little things that we let creep in. One thought can destroy everything. Amen. And once we get the knowledge of where we need to go, once we get to the place, we can say, as in Romans 8, as Bishop Carver read it, Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, what shall separate us from the love of God? And then it starts listing all these things that we shouldn't allow us to separate us from the love of God. Amen. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. And in Philippians 4 and 13, it says, once we understand the full knowledge of God and we're being careful for nothing, we can say, like Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Amen. I pray that you got something out of this on today. I pray that you have a very, very blessed weekend. Amen. And I pray that everything that God is requiring of you and of me, that we walk in that. That we walk in everything that God has required of us. Because in the end, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And we must, by our life, we choose the destination that we will end up at, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. As it states in Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why do we need the Holy Ghost? Because Acts 1 and 8 says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have power. We need that power to be able to live. We need that power to be able to make it to heaven in Jesus' name. We need the power. That power is Jesus Christ on the inside of us in Jesus' name. And that Holy Ghost that we are talking about is for you. It's unto everybody, unto your children, unto those that are far off, even as many as the Lord thy God shall call. Acts chapter 2, verse 39. I pray that you have a very, very blessed weekend. I pray that everything is well with you in Jesus' name. And as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, and since we're on the radio and you can't see me, if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you. God bless you. I love you. On behalf of the Spirit Alive family and on behalf of the Spirit Alive Network, we pray that it is our fervent prayer that you be transformed in Jesus' name. God bless you in Jesus' name.